next session, number 20474, Reel 1.
Peter Noakes, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
West Norwood, London.
Which year was this?
1921.
Did you grow up and have your schooling at West Norwood?
Originally, I was there from the age of 5 to 9 at a LCC elementary school called Salters Hill. And at the age of 9, and my parents wanted me to go to Allen's, Dulwich, and I passed the entrance exam. That was in 1930. And I was at Allen's for 9 years, till 1939.
And then what?
Well, I was prevailed upon by the headmaster in 1939 to stay on another year. And he offered me the job of school captain, which I accepted. And I had already taken my higher school certificate, but I wasn't considered good enough for... I wasn't considered good enough for university entrance. Things are a bit odd those days. It's not like today where the boys and girls getting together to a university quite easy, but it wasn't easy to get into university. And my school, though very pro-Oxford and Cambridge and very anti-provincial university, or the red brick universities they used to be called. So my headmaster said, I can get you a very good job in the city if you stay on for another year. A friend of mine will employ you. So I said, right, okay, I'll take it on. Well, plans had already been made in 1938 for the evacuation of the school, like a lot of others in London, which were never put into motion because of the Munich agreement. And but of course, in 1939, we were pretty sure that it was going to be war, and we were planning to be evacuated. We didn't know where or when or how. I was in Northern Ireland at the time on holiday. We had relatives in Belfast and in Northern Ireland, and my father phoned one day and he said, I think the war's going to break out. You better come home. There's been a message from the school to know where you are and kind of report to the school. So I came home overnight by boat, and the boat train to London. And September the, whatever the date was, the 1st, I think it was, 2 days before the war broke out, the school was ordered to assemble and get ready to go. And we were told what to pack. We'd already heard that 12 months earlier. And assemble at the school. Of course, there were a few absentees. Some parents didn't like to send their children away into the unknown. And, well, to cut a long story short, we... school marched en masse to North Dulwich Station. And eventually we found ourselves in Kent. And we were taken by coach, I think, if I remember rightly, to a village called Boxley, outside Maidstone, which, of course, was not a very good area to be evacuated, as it turned out later in the war. It was the kind of battle of Britain was waging overhead. You know, it was near Manston Airport, in any case. Well, we settled in, and a lot of the masters had disappeared. They'd either been called up, because some of them were in the territorials or had other jobs, and some of the older ones, I don't think they wanted to go, and their wives didn't want to go, and it was very short of staff. And I found myself as a kind of pupil teacher in the junior school. And we accommodated. We had a accommodation in the village hall, church hall. And we started giving the youngsters lessons, and of course, I was in, asked by the headmaster of the junior school to take lessons, simple ones, like dictation and spelling, and simple arithmetic, and the usual kind of things that 9, 10 year old boys do. Well, a few little girls with us as well from our sister school, James Allen's Girls' School, which was just up the road, and some of these little girls were, their brothers were at Allen's, so they managed to keep them together. So we had a little cosy arrangement there. Well, we were attached to the Maidstone Grammar School for a proper schooling, which commenced very shortly after we got there, a few, a week or so. And I found it rather boring being at school, although I was school captain and cadet company sergeant major in the OTC. It didn't really thrill me. I thought there was something more in life than being at school when there was a war on. And then it was announced by the War Office that those who had Cert A, you know what Cert A is?
Yes.
Could apply to enlist and go on a reserve as a potential officer.
What about what time was this?
About October. October, about a month after the war broke out. So quite a few of us who'd got Cert A, like the other prefects, we all went up to, I think it was in Kensington, the Imperial College, I think it was. And we were given 2 shillings, 1 day's pay, subsistence allowance, I think, of 3 and 6 pence. And we were attested and swore to serve king and country on the Bible. And we were told, you'll be hearing from us. Well, I was a bit fed up with this. I thought I was going straight into the army. I was found myself back at Maidstone, and no sign of any movement from the War Office. So I went to see my headmaster and said, this is no good, I can't stay here. We're at war, and I feel that I've got a job to do, of not being at school. But I said, what I will do, while I'm waiting for a call up from the War Office, I'll see if I, the job that was offered me in the summer of 1939 would be open for me to come. What it turned out, they were only too glad to see me, because a lot of the men had been called up in their firm. And so I left school and started as a junior clerk in the Law Fire Insurance Society. And I was there all through that winter. And getting a bit fed up, I didn't like the job very much, but the pay was extremely poor. And then, of course, spring came, and lo and behold, of course, the bloom went up. After Norway, there was the invasion of Belgium and France, Holland, Belgium and France by the Germans. And various units were rapidly formed, and volunteers asked. And I volunteered. I bypassed the official War Office thing, I enlisted at Croydon into the Royal Sussex Regiment as a private soldier. And, well, of course, we had no arms, no rifles, no ammunition, no uniforms. If I remember rightly, for a week or so. Eventually the uniform came, boots, of course, came, and we spent our time route marching and doing parade grill, which I'd already done for some years in the OTC. So I was immediately given a stripe as a lance corporal. Acting unpaid, of course. Well, we were stationed on the south coast. Firstly at Shoreham for a while, and then at Ford Aerodrome, which is now, of course, open prison. You know, heard of Ford. And it was a Fleet Air Arms station at the time. And we were in my company of the 8th Battalion of the Royal Sussex Regiment. It was called a Young Soldiers Battalion. Because the call up then was 20. But they allowed boys, young men, under 20, to join the Young Soldiers unit for home defence. And we got bombed pretty heavily there one day.
Can you describe it?
Yes, I can tell you the day as well. I think it was August the 15th. It was a very hot, sunny Sunday afternoon. And all the chaps were lying outside their tents, sunbathing and having a nap. And suddenly we looked up and there was this mass formation of planes. And we suddenly realised they weren't RAF, they were the Luftwaffe. And they proceeded to dive bomb and bomb Ford Airport, Aerodrome. We had no ACAC defences except Lewis guns, light machine guns, which were manned by naval personnel. So we just lay there and hoped for the best. Our tents and must have been perfectly visible to the German Air Force. And we had one officer was killed. And the chap lying next to me got a bomb splinter in his calf of his leg. It was the only casualties we had. And that his wound in his leg was nothing, you know. So he was hijacked off to the hospital. But we eventually got armed and we got ACAC guns from other units. But we were very, very vulnerable there. And we weren't bombed again, thanks to the RAF having, I won't say complete mastery of the skies, but they were enough to frighten off another attack. And by which time there were radar stations built and in operation along the south coast. But, our nearest one was just across the way at Littlehampton, which gave us early warning of the approach of enemy aircraft. So,
how long did that attack last for on the 15th of August?
I would say no longer than 20 to 30 minutes. It was pretty intensive. They destroyed several aircraft on the ground and hangars. And there were quite a few casualties in the naval staff there, including some Wrens who were employed as cooks there. We did go into action with our machine guns at a later date when they kind of swept over our airfield there, and we managed to poop up a few rounds at them without any success. But and then a German plane had been brought down and landed very near us on fire. And we went out and captured the the German crew brought them in. And but otherwise, there was nothing very much, although there were constant alerts and scares about an invasion. It turned out that post-war it was going to be one of the areas that the Germans were going to land, invade, that part of the coast between Littlehampton and Bognor. Nice sandy beaches. So we were always on the qui vive for an invasion alert. Fortunately, it never happened. We were still underarmed and undertrained. Well, this went on till October, under canvas. And suddenly I was called to the company office and told by the company commander, you've got a posting. Oh. You have to go to Blandford. You have to join a Royal Artillery training regiment. It's for a War Office posting. This is what I was talking about. It had taken 12 months for it to mature. Which time I was 19. So, I went to Blandford via London. First time I'd been home for 4 or 5 months. And I woke my parents up in the middle of the night, in the middle of an air raid. And I got us coming up from the south coast, I got as far as East Croydon Station, which you know, and the trains wouldn't go any further. The line was bombed ahead of us. So I got out and I had carrying everything with me except the kitchen stove. And I walked down George Street and got a trolley bus to Crystal Palace. And the trolley bus went like mad through the streets to get to Crystal Palace. The end of his stint, I suppose. It was about midnight or past. And I walked from there to my parents' home, which is on the... Although it was in Upper Norwood, it was the last house in Upper Norwood, and across the road was Dulwich. Actually, the three places meet at that junction. There's West Norwood, Upper Norwood, and Dulwich. They all meet in this big crossroads in Dulwich. And my father took me up to Paddington the next morning in his car. And I took the train to Blandford.
What was your parents' address at that time?
129 Gypsy Hill, Upper Norwood, 1819. Next, we lived over the shop. My father was in business. He had a cycle shop, and he also had a garage at the time. And he was never short of a car or petrol. So he took me up to Paddington. And I found myself at Blandford. Again, as a recruit, I had to take my stripes down, by which I had been a corporal before. I had 2 stripes. I took my stripes down, and I was then Gunner Noakes, in a heavy ACAC training regiment, such as the whim and fancy of the War Office. So we were there for about 2 months, square bashing and learning the elementary methods of firing ACAC guns and all the rest of it. And I got another stripe, Lance Bombardier. I knew how to drill a squad, I suppose, that's why. And then we went to firing camp in December 1939.
1940?
I beg your pardon, 1940. At Aberporth. Aberporth is still there. It's a defence establishment on the cliff overlooking the Irish Sea. We go near there every year on holiday. Our elder son's got a cottage and on the Pembrokeshire coast between Fishguard and Cardigan. And I've been up to Aberporth to have a look round as far as you can go. Tight security, I don't know what goes on there, but I don't think it's a firing camp. Well, I spent Christmas 1940 there, and pretty ghastly conditions. No running water for the washing. The latrines were primitive, to say the least, and it was bitterly cold, I remember. And one day, just after New Year's Day, early January, I was told to report to battery commander in the battery office. He said, I've got a posting here for you to go to Octu at Sandhurst. I should have told you that whilst I was on the south coast, I was interviewed for a commission in the infantry. By a dear old brigadier who was still in the middle of a field, and he asked us a few questions. What school to go to? And Cert A, yes. What schools are doing it? Yes. And higher schools are doing it? Yes. Well, that's all right. Thank you very much, sir. Right, so march off. And that was my interview with a commission in the army by this dear old brigadier who was a dugout from the World War I, I think. And so this cross-posting came, you see. So I thought, well, this is good. I'd rather go to Sandhurst than mess about with AK-AT guns. I packed my bag and the bags and went off to Sandhurst, the Royal Military Academy, which was absolute sheer luxury compared with the last 7 months I'd spent in the army. Had my own room, had a servant to wait on me, and clean my boots and all the rest of it. It was all run on the pre-war principles, even in January 1941. Well, I did my 3 months there as an officer cadet.
Did you learn much?
Run?
Did you learn much?
Yes. I suppose I did. But it was a very condensed course. You see, normally, pre-war, the gentlemen cadets, as they were called at Sandhurst, did an 18-month course, which is more or less based on a public school, boarding school, kind of term times and curriculum and all the rest of it. It was biased on military history, of course, and other things to do with the army. But of course, the 3 months course was a wartime course, and it was very concentrated. We had no time for any leisure activities. It was difficult to get out of the college for a couple of hours on a Sunday afternoon. The only exercise we had was in the gym, PT, which was pretty strenuous, and it was run by sergeants from the physical training corps, Army Physical Training Corps, who all seemed to be professional footballers in the Civvy Street. And we didn't play any games, but it was concentrated morning, afternoon and evening in 3 months. And eventually we passed out, and we had to fill in a form that asked for what regiment you'd like to go to. I put down my old regiment, Royal Sussex Regiment. Needless to say, I didn't get it. And I was posted to the Northamptonshire Regiment, which I'd hardly heard of. But that was not the reason why. So I had a week's leave. I think it was a week leave before I had to report. This was it was April 1941. And another chap who was in my squad at Sandhurst, he had also been posted in Northamptonshire Regiment, and he was, had been in the Royal Berkshire Regiment. And he asked to go back to them, and it was told he couldn't, there was no vacancy. So he got to the Northamptonshire Regiment posting, like me. And we both, we met up at Euston, and on the day we had to report. It turned out to be Easter Saturday, I think it was, or Good Friday, one of the two. And when we arrived at the depot at Northampton, the barracks, which is in the, these old barracks in the middle of the town, it was deserted. And a lot of the men in the, had a weekend pass. It was Easter. There was nothing going on at all. Well, cut a long story short, there were quite a few of us. They are young officers. And we were did officer training there. And eight of us were detailed to go overseas to join the 1st Battalion of our regiment in India. And this other chap who was at Sandhurst with me, his name was Michael Knowles. He's dead now. Died a few years ago. He and I were then sent to Aldershot, away from the depot, to act as draft command, draft conducting officers for a large party of public schoolboys, ex-public schoolboys, who were going out to the Indian Army as potential officers. And we had, I think, two or three companies of these chaps accommodated at Willem's Barracks in Aldershot. And we had a few old dugouts from World War One who had been in the Indian Army and were fluent in Urdu, or supposed to have been. And we were commanded by a regular Indian Army officer, a Major Fell, who was in the Indian Cavalry, one of the rather super cavalry regiments in those days in India. It's called Skinner's Horse. And they were being mechanized and armored with tanks. And he'd been sent back to UK for training at the Army Tank Centre. And when his course was over, he was sent to Aldershot to take out this crowd of officer cadets, potential officer cadets, to India. So we had quite a nice time, actually, at Aldershot for 2 or 3 weeks. There's a very good officers' club there. I played cricket. I was made the cricket officer. I was very keen on cricket. I was cricket captain at school. Always played cricket. And we played on the played a certain amount of cricket there in our evening games, because it was June, and nice light evenings. Then we got our embarkation orders, and we eventually entrained at Aldershot and went up to Gourock, Glasgow, and sailed from Gourock on the Strathallan. The Strathallan, is it the Strathallan or Strathallan Castle? I can't remember. Strathallan, I know that. Well, quite honestly, it was very comfortable. Although there were four in a cabin, we had first class mess and food. There was all the pre-war bits and pieces of the line. I think it was I can't remember whether it was a clan line or P&O. I think it may have been P&O. P&O, that's right. P&O ship. We sailed in convoy. We had Guyanese waiters serving at the table. We had a very nice bar. The only spirit you could get was gin, Tuppence Halfpenny a tot, which didn't seem to worry very people very much. And we set sail, went straight across the Atlantic in a zigzag way. We nearly touched Iceland and Canada, and then darted.